Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, now that the economy is reopening again, people are getting back on airplanes and traveling. Well, what about the cruise industry? Let's find out what's going on there. Joining us on the program today is Bob Levenstein, CEO of CruiseCompete.com. Bob, let's talk about now that the economy's opening up, which cruise lines are now offering cruises? And that's number one. And number two, are they limited at this point or are things back to normal?
They are most definitely limited at this point. All lines are in the process of starting to offer cruises again. There are actually some sailing within the next week. There are a couple of little lines that have been sailing for over a month now. And what's going to happen as we move into the fall, we'll see more and more ships coming online and capacity restrictions being reduced over time.
Do people need to get vaccinated to go on a ship? Because you are, in many ways, in close quarters on a ship versus, let's say, you know, taking a vacation and walking on the beach.
Sure. Well, first off, I would say it depends. Again, I think there are some lines that are requiring all passengers to be vaccinated. I just got off a river cruise up in Alaska, which was fantastic, where everyone was vaccinated. There are some lines, Norwegian is saying they're going to go 100% vax. Other lines like Royal Caribbean are saying we strongly encourage you to be vaccinated, but we know that, you know, kids under 12 can't be vaccinated yet. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of testing and we'll see how that goes. But honestly, I think that being on a cruise at this point in history is much safer than just about anything you can do. It's safer than the grocery store. It's safer than most places that you can go, even though there are a lot of people. The reason for that is the ventilation systems. Royal Caribbean, for example, now has ventilation systems on all the ships that are in operation, where the air in your cabin is completely circulated every 4 minutes, and the air in the larger spaces where people congregate is completely recirculated every 5 minutes. And this air is going through very high-end HEPA filters that are equivalent to, if not better, than the HEPA filters they have in hospitals. And I think what's really interesting about you know, the whole COVID thing is our knowledge about it evolves. I think it's how people get sick. I think it's pretty clear that what they originally assumed is not the case. Because if you recall, going back to the beginning, the scientists all thought this was either spread through, you know, somebody sneezes on a surface, you touch a surface, you touch your face. Remember when we were all sanitizing our groceries?
Oh, sure.
And the other way was you're, you know, within 6 feet of somebody and they're coughing, they're talking loud, and the virus is going directly to you. I don't think that events have borne that out. I think it's very clear now that the way this virus spreads is you get enough of a concentration in a certain enclosed area. And I think a great example of that is airplanes, because, you know, there's almost zero transmission on airplanes. And it's because that the air circulates, you know, so rapidly. Every 3 minutes, I think, on a commercial airliner. That air that you're breathing gets sucked out and you get, you know, air that's been passed through a filter. But the interesting thing is people are still in very close proximity. And yeah, people are wearing masks, but not all the time. You know, I personally can make a little bag of airport pretzels last about 10 minutes when I'm eating those without a mask. But despite that, you know, somebody sitting literally right next to you fighting over the armrest, they don't get sick. And I think that the key here is what the cruise lines are doing is, number one, they make sure that everybody who gets on in the first place is not sick. They're testing everybody. And then once you get on this, it's the air circulation. And again, it doesn't spread outside either, scientists are telling us. You know, it's something between 0.1 and 1% of cases are spread outside. So those areas should be very safe. We're getting reports back that even on the cruises that are not requiring vaccination, almost everybody's vaccinated anyway. So I'm really looking forward to the season ramping up and seeing some really good results from cruising this year.
Bob, I know here in California, we've opened up, and if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. Our cruise ship, but yet you go into stores, grocery stores, department stores, the employees are still wearing masks, even though the customers may not. Is that the same on a cruise ship? In other words, are cruise ships requiring their employees to wear masks and be vaccinated versus the customers?
Well, the cruise lines are all going 100% vaccinated for their crews. That's without question. When I sailed in, again, on the smaller ship on Cruise Adventures last month, no one wore masks because everybody was vaccinated. And I think a lot of that, even when you're going into the grocery stores, it's really more about show for people, make them feel safe, even though I don't think there's particularly a lot of value to that. If you're vaccinated, you almost certainly don't have COVID. And if you do have it, it's very unlikely you're able to spread.
So let's throw out a situation. You take on passengers, you begin a cruise, and all of a sudden, what if a passenger gets sick and gets, for whatever reason, is diagnosed with COVID? What do you do?
Yeah, well, that's an excellent question, and it's already happened. Basically, there have been a couple of sailings. There's a recent one on Royal where there were two kids, because they couldn't be vaccinated, who did test positive for COVID. What happened was those two people and the people who were traveling with them were all tested. Only those two had the virus that they obviously picked up on shore, right? Because everybody who got on the cruise had already tested negative. And they disembarked and they went home. The great thing about it is that it didn't spread. Because, I mean, look, you've got over 2,000 people on a cruise ship, on this particular ship. They were running at only 1,000 passengers, but these ships carry more than 1,000 crew members, right? So out of a couple thousand people, you had two positive cases and you had zero spread on board. Because, I mean, look, COVID's going to be with us for quite some time. The issue with the cruise with a cruise ship is it going to spread while you're on the ship? You know, if you look at how many people, you know, we're getting what? We're about 90,000 positive tests a week right now. In the U.S., we're probably missing 4 out of 5 cases. The CDC estimates. So, you know, you're talking about a little bit over one person in 1,000 at any given point having COVID, right? So out of over 2,000 people, yeah, they had two positive cases that came on board. It's not a big number and it didn't spread. So, you know, what they're doing is working. There actually have been over, you know, 450,000 passengers carried on cruise ships since the pandemic began. There have been very small number, I'm sorry, since the protocols put in place after the pandemic started. And, you know, over the last year. And there's been very, very few cases and there's been very little spread on board. And that's really the key. That's really the key issue.
So are these cruises, are they beginning now with just short cruises to areas, or is the whole industry opening up? In other words, if I wanted to get on a cruise ship and cross the Atlantic or the Pacific, are those cruises available, or is more of it like local, like in the Caribbean or, let's say, the Alaskan cruise?
Well, I guess the answer on that one is most of the cruises they're doing so far are shorter. They tend to be the, you know, 3 to 7 nights, 7 nights being the most popular number for a cruise ship. And yeah, no, it really depends on which countries are open to having the ship stock. You can't go to Australia. You can't go to Canada. You know, there are certain places like St. Kitts that's not going to let in cruise ships right now. However, there are still plenty of places to go. And the other thing is this, if you're contemplating a cruise, you're not thinking about, hey, well, I'm going to go and, you know, gee, it's Wednesday. I'll go on a cruise Saturday. People tend to plan these things on average about 3 months in advance. Longer cruises tend to be more like 6 months in advance. And, you know, those are available to start to book to figure out where you want to go and what you want to do.
So is there a particular trend that you're seeing as a result of COVID in, let's say, new ships being made, or are they re-equipping existing ships? Like, for example, in our own office, we installed an antiviral system through the air conditioning vent to make the air safer. So are they doing things like that?
Well, that's probably the smartest thing you possibly could have done. Yes, they have already done that. They've already retrofitted their ships. with very much upgraded air handling systems. And again, it's all about how quickly can we change that air act, right? Because what has to happen, I believe, and I think we'll see, and I think it's pretty obvious from what the statistics show and what the studies are. I haven't seen, you know, the CDC come out yet and admit it, but I think they know that this virus is all about a certain amount of virus suspended in the air in an enclosed space. And once you get to a certain capacity, then it becomes contagious. But again, as you know, the airlines have shown, if you keep recirculating that air and you keep filtering out all the virus, there's very little or no spread. You know, the original idea that, oh, you know, you'll touch something somebody sneezed on and you'll touch your nose and you'll get sick. They've thrown that one out. And I think these, you know, these heavier particles that they talk about, the masks blocking, the ones that fall to the ground within 6 feet, I don't believe that's a vector and what's really going on here. It's just really coming through. It builds up in the air. So what you've done, yes, that's absolutely right. What the cruise lines are doing in terms of filtering the stuff out of the air before other people can breathe it in. And then in addition, of course, they're doing things like test before you get on a cruise. If you're going on a longer cruise, you get tested more than once. They're either requiring vaccines or giving you strong incentives to get vaccinated. Royal Caribbean, for example, is saying, look, if you're not going to get vaccinated, we got to test you more. You got to pay for those tests. And you got to show you got travel insurance. So if we have to kick you off the ship, you can get home. You know, because they don't want the they don't want their customers to be unhappy of, hey, I got kicked off the ship and it cost me a lot of money to get home. So they're definitely pushing toward vaccinations, which I think is smart.
Let's take a situation where you're on a cruise. I don't know. Let's say you're on an Alaskan cruise. Second day in the cruise, you come down with COVID. Do they have facilities to treat you? Do they have the drugs or things like that that can help you out? Or are they going to try to medevac you out of there someplace else?
I think it depends. Yes. First of all, there's certainly all of the lines have beefed up their ability to take care of passengers when they get sick. There are part of the reason for capacity limitations on some of these sailings is that they can have extra cabins available to isolate people if they need to. The larger lines have all beefed up their medical staffs. They've got testing capability on board. And certainly they're stocking some of the most popular drugs for treatment as well. But that said, obviously, as soon as possible, they would like to, you know, get you away from other passengers. And they certainly are making arrangements to get people off of ships and get them home safe.
Now, you recently took a cruise, I believe, in Alaska in May. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, you bet. This is a line called Uncruise Adventures. And it is a small ship cruise line founded by a guy named Dan Blanchard, who we had the pleasure of his company actually on the ship that we were on. And these cruises are very different from the typical ocean cruises that most people are used to or used to thinking about. It's a fairly small ship, 65 passenger capacity. It's called the Wilderness Legacy, although there are 8 ships in this line. And we did an itinerary that started in Juneau, and we sailed through the straits in Southeast Alaska up to Sitka. And this was very, very much more like a river cruise than an ocean cruise in these straits, even though you're on the ocean and there are whales swimming around underneath you and you see their spouts and their flukes. It seems like a river because there are no big waves because you're protected in shelter. And of course, you know, you can see land on both sides at all times. The second thing that was very different about this cruise is there really aren't any ports as we traditionally think of, you know, stopping at Antigua and going to the beach. We're anchoring in these straits. And the things that you do are you get off and you hike, you kayak, you go on a skiff tour to experience the wilderness and see the wildlife. So that was very different. And it was great for somebody, you know, I particularly enjoy activities where I'm pretty tired at the end of the day from hiking or kayak. And that part was great. The aboard ship stuff was really, really, really well done. The level and quality of service was absolutely excellent. The food was great. People were just really going out of their way to make sure passengers are happy. I'll give you one little example. First day on the cruise, my waiter down in the dining room asked me if I had asked if we had any allergies. I said, yeah, I've got a mild allergy to almonds. 4 or 5 days later, when the snack in the afternoon was brownies with almonds, they specifically made some cookies without almonds for me just in case I wanted them. I mean, that's the level of service on this.
I was surprised you went on an Alaskan cruise because I thought Canada was still on lockdown.
We didn't go to Canada, first off. And secondly, that ban applies to ships with more than 100 passengers, I believe. The other thing here is the ships that go to, they have to stop in Canada, are subject to the Passenger Services Act. In other words, let's see how this goes. Okay, so there's a law that was passed, I think, in the 1920s or 30s, that basically says, look, if you want to carry passengers between U.S. ports, you have to use ships that were at least 40% built in the U.S. and are flagged as U.S. passenger vessels. Otherwise, if you don't meet those requirements, you have to visit at least one foreign port on the cruise. Okay. And it's such a great job of protecting the U.S. shipbuilding and passenger shipping industry. We don't have one at all, to go just between ports. However, there are some small lines with U.S. flagged ships like Uncruise Adventures. And so they're not subject to that regulation. Now, what's going on right now for the Alaska season is our Congress passed legislation that suspends this act for the near future. There is also legislation that's been proposed by Mike Lee to get rid of this thing completely because, let's face it, there's basically nobody who can comply with this act anymore. So hopefully that will happen, and ships will not have to go and visit these foreign ports in order to carry passengers. It just brings more commerce into the U.S., and it's really better for us.
So at this point, let's say I'm considering taking a cruise in the fall. What's available, and what kind of things do I need to be aware of if I'm planning a cruise?
Okay, well, I would say step one, get vaccinated. It will certainly increase your choices that you have, your options for cruises to take. What's going on is each line has their own schedule for when they're bringing ships back online. There's still lots of stuff that's up in the air, but it all seems to be trending toward being better and easier for cruise lines to get back sailing. As you may be aware, the judge in the Florida lawsuit where Florida sued the CDC saying that they do not have the authority to shut down the cruise industry. The judge has basically said, yeah, you're going to win this. So, before I rule, why don't you make a deal that makes sense? So that's going to make it, that should be coming up here. I think they've got until the 18th of July to come up with a plan that makes sense. But that hopefully will get rid of all these silly test cruises that they're making cruise ships do. It's just extra work, and honestly, it really isn't helping anybody. But anyway, what's going on is ships are slowly coming back online. There are some ships off of the major lines that aren't scheduled to come back until February of next year. But I think we'll be probably at least 80% capacity by Christmas. And you asked again the change about the ships, new ships, old ships. What a number of cruise lines did, I think Carnival in particular, they took a lot of their older, less profitable ships and they got rid of them. Some of them went to smaller cruise lines in other parts of the world. Some of them just got scrapped. And so that's reduced their capacity temporarily. But they have a number of much larger, because remember, if you just look at the cruise business in general, the ships tend to get bigger. So a ship that's 15 years old is most likely, maybe a third or half the size of a ship that's coming out this year for the big line. So that capacity is going to be back up to above where it was in the days before COVID. I would say by end of 2022 or into 2023, it'll just be with somewhat fewer ships. One of the downsides of that is there will not be as many ships probably sailing from smaller ports. You know, if you've got want to sail directly out of the Carolinas or out of Virginia, that's where a lot of these smaller ships would end up. I think it was good for the industry because you got a lot of people who could get a taste of what cruising is like, you know, go on a little 3-4 day cruise without having to get on an airplane. And there'll be fewer of those. But overall, I think, you know, the options and the choices will be back and better than they were very soon.
A final question, given the fact that they're restarting up, are they giving incentives to get people back on cruise ships?
I would like to tell you that, but the answer is no.
Okay.
And it's not just a simple no, it is a resounding no. Because the cruise business is as much of a pure supply and demand business as anyone out there. You know, a hotel, for example, if people aren't traveling, they can shut down a wing. They can close down part of the restaurant. They can lay off or, you know, furlough their waiters and the people, you know, and their room cleaners, et cetera. A cruise ship, if they're not at full capacity, they can't make their staff swim home, right? So their fixed costs, they just don't go down. Right, depending on passengers. So on the days when you've got not as much, you know, not as much capacity, your prices are going to go up. You know, and they're very, very fluid, and they're very good at automatically raising and lowering prices to try to fill every cabin and every shift. But here's the thing: there's a ton of pent up demand right now. There were lots of people in this pandemic who still made just as much money as they were making. Or they made more because the stock market did quite well, but they couldn't spend any of it, right? And then you compare that with, then we've got a lot of reduced capacity right now. So there's a lot of money chasing not very many cabins. So prices are high. They're going to remain high. If you're thinking about going on a cruise, I would absolutely book now because prices are not coming down. That is not to say that you may not find at certain points, I would say probably past the end of this year. Still, I guess it's the one thing I guess I would say is this. If you have, because schedules are shifting around a bit, there may be ships that come into service on shorter notice, and you may be able to find deals on those. But overall, the industry has lots of money chasing not enough cabins. That's going to mean higher prices.
All right. Well, listen, Bob, as we close, if our listeners would like to find out more about your company and what you guys do, how could they do so, please?
Oh, great. Thanks. Well, Cruise Compete is www.cruisecompete.com. And it's a simple system where you simply pick the cruise you want to go on. You give us a little bit of information about that. And then your quote request is automatically available to more than 500 different travel agencies who can see what you're looking for, and they compete to offer you the best deal. So it's definitely a way to save some money, get some extra perks, and make sure you connect with some really good, really experienced travel agents.
Your website one more time?
It's cruisecompete.com.
All right. Well, listen, Bob, thanks for joining us on the program and updating us on the cruise industry. Appreciate it.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.